pour something flammable into your... Oh my god, the Avengers was fucking amazing. That's my intro.
Wow.
It really
was. You
should
try wiping your chin. The cum is still dribbling out of your mouth.
Dude, do you think Tony Stark would come in my mouth? Because I wouldn't say no.
Only if you swallowed. We know he's a classy gent. He doesn't want the mess from spitting.
Fair enough.
So
Tony Stark's seed, son! Yes. I saw it last night. It is freaking fantastic.
I was going to say, all right, we're 20 seconds in and have lost half our listeners.
Oh, my God. We gained all the ones that matter. Welcome to Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. It has been a fucked up couple of weeks in terms of schedule, so we missed last week, but deal with it. I think that's like all of the second podcast in the year and a half that we've been podcasting that we've missed, so...
Well, it's the only one that wasn't intentional, though, because the other one we missed was, like, that Christmas bullshit thing.
Oh, yeah. It was like, Christmas Eve, and we were like, everyone can go to hell.
Yeah, basically. And I was in the Philippines, so we're just like, fuck it. We're not even going to try to make this work. 14
exactly.
Hours zone difference, fuck it.
I'm drinking some scotch. What are you drinking, Nathan?
I put the teaser pic on Facebook earlier this week.
Oh, are you drinking the maple bacon?
The bacon maple ale.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bacon maple. Because the maple bacon is shit.
It's true. I mean, you never want maple before bacon.
No, seriously. It's unnatural. And it actually says in the Bible, I think, somewhere in Leviticus, that you should never fucking have the pork before the tree.
Philippians, actually.
Philippians, yes. I apologize. I believe it was Philippians 4:12.
No, honestly, here's the thing. I do have to do a shout out. It is Rogue Brewery Voodoo Donut Bacon Maple Ale. Now, I am I have a love-hate relationship with beers that try to be gimmicky, you know.
like to try them.
See, I know better. Anything that is done by one of the big breweries, stay away. Yeah, Coors Light Iced Tea. But as I said, I like to get them, but I've never had one I've enjoyed. So I find that chocolate in beer is crap, coffee in beer is crap. Like, it's just, it never tastes good, but this is like bacon rainbows. It is so good that I wish I had two of them.
Interesting. Well, you have to bring some down next time you're around, because I'm actually quite interested in tasting that.
Oh, well, like I said, your first sip, like, it smells like bacon. So your first sip, you taste nothing but bacon, and then, like, the sweetness of the maple, and then finally it finishes with a beer taste, and you're just like, oh, my God, where have you been my whole life? Like,
it's unnatural. It's an abomination. It shouldn't exist. Everyone should just keep drinking scotch. Breakfast of Champions. joy. So let's get into this week in hobby here. This last 2 weeks in hobby, you were at Adepticon, Nathan.
Yes.
You want to give a quick blurb about that? We were going to try to do Adepticon coverage last week, but, you know, fates conspire, and we don't want to seem like a couple of jerks doing, like, Adepticon coverage, like, 2 weeks after Adepticon finishes. So, right. I believe you were planning on writing a blog about it, as well, Nathan.
Well, I can. I don't have a whole lot going on at work, so sure, I can totally write a blog.
You should write a blog. I thought you said you were going to write a blog. Jesus.
No,
Christ.
I'm so far lazier than that. See, I just said that. no, I went to Adepticon. It was fun. Mr. Boriental Wong and I ended up driving down all 22 hours of it. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a surprisingly okay drive. But no, when we were there, it's one of those things that I think that everyone should try to go to at least once. I mean, the size and the scale of it is completely off the charts. Like I said, it's great in terms of the size. They've got the vendor hall with lots of great stuff. I ended up impulse buying Black Library every time I walked past.
Mm.
Like, every time I walked
mm-hmm,
past.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I can't really talk too much about the 40K. I know that Adepticon does focus heavily on 40K. It is their bread and butter, and I don't blame them for it. So I know that all day Friday, Mr. Wong was busy doing that, and I was just kind of hanging around Lombard, Illinois, which is just outside Chicago. Went into Chicago, kind of city ratted around. But the fantasy tournament was the one I went to, which was awesome because 140 players, which is a big spread. I ended up playing four games, went 3-0 against Americans, my only loss coming to a Canadian. It's what counts.
That's the way it works. As long as you're keeping it in the family.
That's right. No, like I said, I actually had four fantastic games. So I went 3-1. I have no idea where I finished because even though it was 2 weeks ago, there are still no results posted up. They announced who had won, and then they were like, "Oh yeah, we'll post it on the website in a week." And well,
ghetto.
Yeah, still waiting. So I don't know how I finished overall, but I did go 3 wins, 1 loss, which is pretty good because my dice were comically bad,
as usual.
Hey, like I said, I was actually laughing about it because in my last game, my Great Unclean One failed a 7-inch charge, then a 6-inch charge, then a 5-inch charge, and finally finished the job, like finally got in when he needed a 4. And I was just like, you just have to laugh about it because it was the same unit I just kept declaring on.
Which brings us to a very common segment, tournament don'ts. I'll let Nathan explain. Now, Nathan, you'd kind of told me this story. You were sexually assaulted, were you not?
Yes, as back rubs do typically lead to sex, I will have to say well, that yes.
You know the old saying, right? Back rubs in the front room lead to front rubs in the back room. That's how it's played.
You know, yeah.
It's fucking ape law.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it was just awkward and interesting because one of my opponents that day ended up kind of becoming my Klingon, and we discussed Klingons, you know, when we talked about the different types of people who run into tournaments and tournament don'ts and things like that. Kind of became my Klingon, wouldn't really leave me alone, went hunting for me when I went to dinner without him, God forbid. And then, yeah, just came up from behind and started giving me a back rub while I was having dinner with my wife, and I was just like, what the fuck is
that
this?
Is so creepy. So tournament, yes. Tournament don't, I think this is tournament don't number 4. Mm-hmm. Tournament don't number 4. You should never give anyone a back rub unless they ask for it, because yes, that's fucking creepy. You're creepy.
Really fucking creepy. So yeah,
pretty much, right?
Adepticon. I think that's our Adepticon coverage. Don't give back rubs.
Why not?
There we go.
And never finish another man's drink. God damn it. Yes. So for me, I was doing up some Firestorm stuff, painting. I purchased a bunch of Firestorm crap for people from Kyle's store, Imaginary Wars, there in Calgary, and brought it down to Edmonton because Edmonton retailers don't want to sell product, apparently. And but I spent last weekend at the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo, 3 days there, helping out Kyle. But I was also doing cosplay, dressing up, and having generally a very good time and having very sore feet. And then outside of that, I haven't done much this week just because I've been so focused on trying to finish restoring my car. So I'm eager to start working on my... Oh, no, that's wrong. I actually did do my vampire counts. I was putting together the rest of my Blood Knights and the rest of my Crypt Horrors. So I'm kind of getting that ready to go and actually see whether or not I will be able to finish that for Warhammered and maybe play that as my Warhammered list instead of Lizardmen. But we'll kind of wait and see how that happens. Because I do have to repaint a lot of shit for me to be happy with that and actually get to play it at Warhammered. But, yeah, that was that for me for the most part. There's a lot of crazy shit happening. Apparently, I learned that in Calgary, it is considered distracted driving if you are looking at a map at a stop sign. Yeah, unless your car is parked.
Got a ticket, huh?
Oh, yeah, $175 ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, for real, right? So I was pretty happy about that because I learned something new. And that's me looking at the silver fucking lining, isn't it?
I shouldn't find it as funny as I do.
Jesus Christ. Know. You know what the stupid thing is? Is like I have GPS on my phone, right? And I normally like take my GPS and I'll put it in like my cup holder. And I can look down and I can see my GPS and I know where I'm going. It's pretty straightforward, right? Or I can just like put it on my armrest so that nobody can see in the window and see it. But I know it's illegal to use a handheld GPS in Canada. So I was just like, fuck it. Okay, I'm going to print out a map. And then like I'm just going to go with the map. And that's what I got stopped for. I was just like, Jesus Christ. And so that was the beginning of my weekend, which was phenomenally fantastic. But we actually had a very good time near the end and enjoyed ourselves and took up way too many pictures. My eyes hurt for a long time afterwards. But I was on Bleeding Cool. Yay. Me.
good for you.
I know, right? It's everybody loved the tattoo. See, that's what I love about comic conventions is like I can have an arc reactor tattooed on my chest and people will approve of it constantly, as opposed to like, you know, Thanksgiving with my family when all my family can do is shake their head in disgust and, you know, I wouldn't even say mild, but, you know, fairly strong embarrassment.
See, I was going to say, you just have to hit the tattoo threshold like I did, where it's just like they don't even bother shaking their heads anymore because you're just covered. And they know that even their obvious disapproval is pointless and just wasting their time.
Damn freaking right.
So get more ink. You heard it from me.
That's the way it works. I'm going to keep doing mine. Hey, look at that. My phone isn't muted.
Hey, look at that. That reminds me to mute mine. Mine didn't go off, so I could have just lied to you.
Yeah, people commenting on the pictures of my car I posted. Good times. I love it, man.
Wow. This is a pretty non-scripted, kind of all-over-the-place podcast, isn't it?
So, what are you doing?
What are you wearing, Lang?
Oh, fucking nothing. What? You know me. I never podcast with clothes on. I feel it's too constricting.
It's true. That is also why all of the interviews feel extra awkward when you start snuggling them.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, back rubs at a tournament, no. Back rubs while podcasting, yes.
Golden rule.
Absolutely. But okay, let's get into higher learning. We were going to go on and do a bit more higher learning, but you didn't get a chance to do the follow-up stuff for Empire. Did you want to get into that?
Either or. I hadn't planned on it. I was actually looking at it and had... Because I know next on deck is 40K Necrons.
That's great.
But if we want to go back to Empire, great.
Well, I think Necrons are pretty topical with the releases that we have right now.
Yeah, and that was actually one thing that I was going to say is through no fault of our own, Necrons are topical.
Exactly. So yeah, let's talk about Necrons. Let's just go right into the models. What do you think of the new models?
I think that, I'm just going to go and look at all of them. I think that there are some models that I absolutely love, some models that don't really do anything for me. I think that, Vargard Oberon does nothing for me.
Mm.
I mean, he's just standing there with his, like I said, doesn't really do anything. The Triarch Stalker, despite being exactly what the concept art was, doesn't do anything for me. But with that being said, I think the Canoptic Spider is gorgeous.
Yes.
I think it is one of my favorite kits.
I think the Wraiths and the Spider are definitely the two that stand out as being like the really kind of inspired takeaway from even the past book and the past models, where they basically made the Wraiths look like the Spiders, and then they made the Spider actually look like a monstrous creature.
Yes.
And it looks very, very nice. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, like the stupid jet bikes and the stupid stalker and the stupid characters, like they all kind of, they reek of the things that I don't like about the new models, which I've kind of touched on before. But, you know, the Wraiths and the Spider, like those two are the ones that absolutely shine for me. I would ponder trying to mix them in with my Disco Necrons, even though I know that it would just ruin the aesthetic for that army. So I probably will never do it. But I think that they look nice. I think that the problem with the Stalker is it was exactly like the art. And I think that we're so used to seeing the artworks in the book before the model comes out and kind of getting this stylized version of it in the artwork that makes you go like, okay, we're going to get something that looks kind of like that. That when they start releasing stuff and it looks exactly like the artwork, it's always kind of disappointing because you weren't particularly fond of the artwork. You always kind of had a better picture of it in your head.
Well, you know, and this is a funny thing. I'm just going to segue a little bit, but it's funny because I think you're absolutely right. This is a case where the model is exactly like the artwork, and it's kind of a letdown. And to me, that's the exact opposite of the Dark Eldar Grotesque model, because when I first got my hands on the Dark Eldar Codex, and I saw that artwork for the Grotesques, my jaw dropped. And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, oh, I cannot wait to do a whole homunculi coven. I'm kind of feeling ripped off and gypped that none of these models are out, be they racks or Grotesques. And then they released this cartoonish, stupid-looking monstrosity. And they're like, look, everybody, it's the rack. You know, we kind of used the artwork as inspiration and decided to make it look stupid and
it's inbred. Got skulls like the artwork.
Yeah, exactly. You know, And so, like, that was one of those things where you just, like, you know, sigh. Like, why couldn't you have done it closer to the artwork? And then you get something with, like, the Triarch Stalker, where, like I said, they did the exact opposite, but the artwork was uninspired. So that's why you end up feeling just kind of ripped off. And you're like, yeah, well, I guess my criticism was they didn't do it close to the artwork. And I guess they kind of listened. Not that they ever listened, but, I mean, they kind of decided to go that way anyway.
And it has a dick cannon.
Well, I mean, who doesn't have a dick cannon?
Well, the Necrons, ladies, we all know they're the biggest reason why they hate the galaxy is that they do not have genitalia anymore. And that's why in, like, every picture, they're, like, you know, blowing loads in people's faces and all of their vehicles have dick cannons.
Well, you know, funny point of trivia here. But in the old Necrontyr language, the word for semen was goss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, goss flare, goss blaster.
Faux show. Goss destroyer. absolutely. I mean, and that's the kind of quality entertainment you can get from Jaded Gamercast. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about bringing Necrons to tournaments, because we are seeing them a lot more in tournaments now since the book's been out for a fair amount of time. I think that the really disappointing thing that I've seen so far is that the majority of Necron players that I've seen are playing the very vehicle-heavy, kind of transport-heavy lists, you know, essentially parking lot, but Necron. With a few exceptions, because there are a couple of units that definitely work outside of that, but for the most part, they're all still playing with, you know, the platforms and the ghost arcs and all that kind of stuff and two monoliths on the table. You know, and that seems to be the general list that we're seeing, is they're playing more of 5th edition as they are playing their codex.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I personally don't really care for vehicle-heavy Necron armies. I mean, when you're paying 115 points for a naked transport, it's just really cutting into the number of bodies that you can, you know, legitimately field. And realistically, you're not getting any firepower as that trade-off. I mean, they're slightly survivable with the with the quantum shielding. That's the rule. With their quantum shielding rule that ups their armor to 13 until they get penned.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still only open top. I mean, you know.
That's what she said.
Right. Right before he withdrew his Goss Blaster.
Yeah.
It's all about delivery and timing. There you go. But no, like I said, it's just you're not getting any sort of return on your investment. Sure, it's okay. It's somewhat survivable so that the odd missile launcher, you know, one rocket shot isn't legitimately going to pose a threat. But the same sort of focus fire that drops tanks is going to have an easy day with these vehicles. But on the flip side of that, I really see why a lot of Necron players are going that route, and that has to do with the fact that they are still absolutely fucking awful in close combat. I mean, the fifth ed combat rules are a joke when you're playing Necrons. You know, a 10-man tactical squad charges in, kills 3 Necron warriors, wipes out your whole squad of 20 on an overrun. Like, it's bullshit like that they do have to contend with. So for me, I think that right now, you're really only going to see the diehards taking Necrons to tournaments, because if I'm looking for the win and I'm trying to find the easiest path, the path of least resistance, I'm going to play Grey Knights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's be completely honest. I'm going to build a Grey Knight army, or if I don't want to be that guy, I'm going to go look at the Guard Codex or the Space Wolves Codex, because these are fairly well rounded codexes with the power in it. Necrons have a lot of potential. I mean, one Necron army made top 16 for the Adepticon Championships. But, you know, I think that's more to do with the player than it is the list, because after all, one Chaos Demons army made it there as well. And I think everyone agrees that Chaos Demons are kind of sort, you know, are basically a nerfed list that wins on gimmicks. So, I mean, you know, my hat's off to that Necron player who did very well at Adepticon with them, but at the end of the day, they're still fighting a flaw, like an edition that is flawed for their book.
Right.
And so when 6th edition comes out and the combat rules get cleaned up and it's not a matter of, you know, each kill is a minus to their leadership, I think that's when you're really going to see Necron armies come out of the woodwork, because at that point, they're really going to stand out as this army with very potent shooting and really sort of neat tricks, because that's kind of what they are, is they're like a combo army. There are different things that they can do that a lot of other armies can't. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't like that you see a whole lot of ghost arcs and sort of ghost arc spam, but I completely understand it at this point.
Well, they're playing the edition, like I said before, and part of it is also playing the metagame. They know that what they're going to have to go up against, and so the big doomsday platforms and all that kind of shit, you know, is pretty much the best choice for winning games if that's what you're really focused on. I had an mm-hmm. interesting conversation with John Kingsway earlier last week, where I was saying, you know, I'm tired of looking at 40K anytime people play, and I'll watch a turn of play and the game has become this kind of stagnant, boring game. Like I'm really not finding the enjoyment in it or even the strategy in it, because mm-hmm. virtually every game that I watch is exactly that. It's people with enormous amounts of vehicles, you know, being really reserved on how they move them and being really, you know, timid in the way that they play. I saw an orc player, and he basically just kept his orcs in cover and, like, just ran around with his battle wagons, you know, because it was just, there was no point in playing that type of orc army anymore. And it's tough for me to really get excited about Warhammer 40,000, which is too bad, because I really do love it. But when every game that I watch is essentially that game, right? And we all know it's coming around the corner, so I'm not going to harp on it too much, but hopefully 6th edition breathed a little bit more life into Warhammer 40,000 for us old jaded gamers. So let's get into the main topic for today's show, which is actually something that was spawned by a comment that you had made to me, that was made to you by a person's from another podcast while you were at Adepticon.
Yeah, it's amazing. Could we get more cryptic with that one?
Oh, it was the gay guy from Screaming Heretics? Is that who it was?
Eternal Warriors,
I don't know.
One of the hosts from Eternal Warriors, and I were having a talk at Adepticon. He was very fucking lit, by the way. I mean, I think most people were. Good man. I mean, they aspire to drink like Jada Gamercast, but let's be honest.
Which is, you need to train.
They're not as practiced. Exactly. They're not as trained. We were having a conversation, and he was saying that, you know, what he wants to see to get more girls into the hobby is to get, the flamboyant, like, gay boys, you know, the ones that, like, fucking sneeze glitter, kind of gay, into Warhammer, because, in his own words, they are catnip to girls. And, you know, they will come and play Warhammer just to be around this guy and get fashion tips and hair tips and things like that. These are his own words. I'm not even making any of this up.
I have no doubt that this is what happened, yes.
So then, you know, he then made a comment about how if I were to grow my beard out and make it bushier, I could then be the catnip to the gay boys, because I could be a bear. And
nerdy gay bear, yes.
Nerdy gay bear.
I've said it before. You and Jason, you could do it, man. I was saying that to my buddy Jason earlier in the week, where I was just like, listen, man, I'm telling you, like, you could be doing just banging boys left and right, like otters screaming for you, man. Like, you don't even know what the cubs are going to say when they see you come in, because he's already got the beard, like the little beatnik beard, man. He goes, but he is straight as the day is long. You had kind of made this comment to me, and I said to you, yeah, but is that really something that we should aim for? Like, is that really a good thing? Is that necessarily a good thing? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to lead in with this, and I'm only going to lead in with this because you are 3 hours away from me. But when it comes to Warhammer and tabletop gaming, your wife basically has a penis.
Nice. You're right. I can't slap you yet.
And what I mean by that, metaphorically, is that she is one of the guys, right? Like, she has that personality. It's not like she doesn't have girlfriends or anything like that, but it's very much like she's comfortable around the guys. She has those conversations. She's a nerdy girl. And so she fits right into that realm, right? It's not that she's not a girl. She doesn't like girl things or anything like that. It's just the fact that she fits in with this group, not because of her gender. It's just because of her personality. And I've heard this conversation so many times where people will say, oh, yeah, we need to get more girls into the hobby. Like, that's going to grow the hobby. It's going to get guys out there. It's going to blah, blah, blah. And I've always kind of shook my head and disagreed, you know, kind of very fiercely about this, because it's not about gender. It's not about, you know, how many girls do we have in the hobby? All of the guys who don't shower aren't going to start showering because girls are showing up. All the guys who can't talk to girls aren't going to start talking to girls because girls show up. And it's not an attractive group. I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry to say. It's just not on average per capita vis-a-vis.
No, and, you know, and that's the thing is you know, Terry and I ended up talking about this because, again, I mentioned this conversation to you, and then you're like, hey, maybe we should talk about, you know, would this be good on the podcast, talk with Terry, you know, the yes. things. And even she was just like, but, you know, again, is that a good thing? You know, and I think we both, I think everyone can agree that more people in the hobby is a good Absolutely. Thing. You know, it's just like, I would rather see 500 more guys get in the hobby locally than see 10 girls. Because at the end of the day, if 500 more people in general get in and 10 of them happen to be girls, that's 500 more people in that are playing, that are painting, that are showing up to tournaments, that are running events, that are making my enjoyment of the game richer, because at the end of the day, this is a social game.
Right. And girls, you know, are generally worse at Warhammer. So that's just wins.
Well, exactly. And I mean, no one wants.
And that's also because your wife is three hours away.
Again. Yeah. She'll slap you the next time we see you. But no, I mean, like, that's the thing where it's just like, you know, I don't want to make a girl cry. And I know that the game that it's going to happen.
I want to make them cry. I don't get any better enjoyment out of it than making my opponent cry.
Right? That's why I try to slap the tears out of them.
Damn fucking right. but no, I mean, it's kind of just this weird thing that keeps coming back to the forefront of conversation, is this idea that we need more girls in the hobby. And it's such a weird goal, because one of the things that I had said, I was having this conversation with Kyle that weekend when I kind of brought it up, and he said, you know, I think, and again, I'm paraphrasing what he had said. He says, I think the idea is that it will give the hobby a little bit more legitimacy, is that that's kind of the draw. Like, that's what people want more than anything, is the ability to kind of look at this hobby and say, like, hey, look, there's all these girls in it. That means it's okay, because girls approve and girls are, you know, the thing we want after models.
You know, it's totally true. But I mean, for everything that guys do, girls are never really going to be on board. I mean, how many women do you see at fucking, like, stock car races and drag races? I mean, sure, they're there, but...
Because if they don't go, their husbands will beat them.
That's... Obviously, we're talking about the South here. No, but I mean, that's the thing.
Charlie, get me another beer, bitch! Where's that son of yours? That little son of a bitch better rake my dirt.
Stock car racing. No, but I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just the more every time I think about it, it's just one of those things where it's just like everyone always talks about it because there's such an obvious gender disparity. I mean, you know, you go in, you go to a tournament, you go into your Games Workshop store, you go anywhere, and there are not a lot of women. But I think, and this is an interesting thing I want to put out to you, and I'm sure Kyle would agree with this. I think the only place that I see, you know, an opportunity to say, hey, there needs to be more women involved on this sort of, you know, scale, you know, somewhere in this process, and that's sales. Because having worked at a G-Dub with a girl, I can honestly say that the average demographic, like you talked about, these not attractive mouth breathers, honestly believe that if they buy product from the girl, it gives them a better shot at getting in her pants. And I'm not even making this up.
I don't think anyone's going to disagree there.
You know, we had she actually kept a checklist of all the times that guys just gave her their phone numbers. And in 4 months of working there, it was up to 11. You know, so I'm just like, hey, you know what? I'm all for girls selling Warhammer to hopeless nerds because, hey, they're going to buy more, might even get more of them in. And again, okay, I think Kyle
okay,
would be
I'm gonna throw this out
because
there.
If he had a booth, babe.
I'm going to...
Dude, imagine how his sales
exactly.
would go.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there, okay? If you had to associate buying one Games Workshop kit with getting some pussy, which kit would that be?
Ooh. First of all, the correct answer is none of them.
No, 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 no. This is a play on words. It's time to get the puns out. Something that associates with, like, if we were running a brothel out of a GW, And 50% of the staff were girls who would get it down. But the only way to make sure that, like, you're kind of under the table saying, like, hey, I'm looking for a BJ in the corner while I'm painting my Space Marine, which box would you have to buy?
Long Fangs.
Mm, that's better than mine. So much so that I'm actually angry that I didn't think of it.
What's yours? Come on.
Grotesques.
Well, to be honest,
mine was more along the idea of just like nobody wants to buy them anyway, so they would know that that's what you meant. It's like if you're buying cocaine in New York, you call that pizzeria and you order sardines, and then they say, are you sure? And you say, yes, extra sardines, and that's how they know you want cocaine delivered to your house. So I was just like, oh yeah, grotesques. Throw those
See,
out there.
I thought,
but Long Fangs is easily the better. Fuck you.
See, I thought that you were making a play at, you know, the hooker hierarchy, because if you're a hooker working at G-Dub, let's be honest, you are one step above like fucking OD'd crack whore on the
That's
streets.
True, and you know there's no diseases.
Because it's cast with fine cast and it's all homeless.
Oh,
holes in mold lines, gaps. Jesus. That's what you've got to deal with.
Christ, in case you're tuning in just now, this is Jaded Gamercast. okay, you know what? I'm going to tangent right out here because this came to me when we were talking about NASCAR. If you were going to have a really white trash wife, what would her white trash name be?
Paulette.
Not bad. See, for me, it would be Lurleen.
Oh,
isn't that or like Joni Ann or something like that, where like it doesn't even go good together. We were talking about girls. Okay, so really one of the things that I find interesting here is, and again this goes back to your wife's penis, but really
can I slap the mic? Does that count?
Feel free. I'll react appropriately. Actually, that sounded really funny. That was almost like we were radio DJs, and it was the... But, hello, you're back. This is Jaded Gamercast in the morning with me, Lang and the Squid. But... girls are not interested in this kind of stuff, and that's always going to be the biggest barrier to entry for anything. It's the idea that, you know, if we did get a lot more girls in the hobby, and not women like your wife, but more girls in the hobby, it would be a very, very different hobby and kind of not the hobby that we would enjoy. The competitive side wouldn't necessarily be there. The painting side would obviously be there, but it would be very, very different, right? Like they would have to cater to a different demographic of people that not necessarily are going to see eye to eye on what you want personally. So, you know.
But how is that any different than retconning the Necron fluff? You know, this is a decision made in the hopes of appealing to more people that I fucking hate.
I thought it was just Matt Ward.
Just to play devil's advocate. I mean, I agree. The last thing I want to see is, you know, Hello Kitty Marines. Although, Games Workshop, TM, Jada Gamercast.
Yeah.
And Sanrio.
One of the Lost Legions.
Number two. That's number
right,
two.
Man. But you know, I feel like this whole conversation is very strange in the sense that it's short-sighted, and I feel like the real motivation is just the idea that, and I do have to agree with Kyle, like people feel like it's going to grant the hobby some sort of legitimacy. Whereas you and I have had this conversation before, the only thing that I feel is ever going to grant this hobby legitimacy is money, enormous amounts of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to look at something like StarCraft, right? Entertaining enough to watch, but relatively dull once you've watched it enough times. It's like watching chess. There's only so many times you can see the same thing happen over and over again, right? Only so many times they can build roaches, or only so many times they can do, you know, like for StarCraft. Some people absolutely love it, but it's usually the guys who are, you know, entrenched in it and trying to get to that level themselves. But the reason why it has the legitimacy behind it is the fact that the guys who go to these tournaments win thousands and thousands of dollars. And mm-hmm. So it brings out the best of the best. It brings out the guys willing to travel. It brings out the guys who are notorious on the internet. And it makes them compete because the stakes are so high. I feel like that's the only thing that's going to add legitimacy to the hobby, not more skirts.
Well, you know, absolutely. Like, you know, you're absolutely right. Look at, you know, even if we're going to, you know, step away from video games, which are nerdy, but even look at fucking poker.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I mean, who really played poker? It was one of those things that happened in the movie. Now everyone does. I mean, there's so much legitimacy. It has TV deals. People can become millionaires by playing this. And so I think you're right. Money is what is going to grab people. It's what's going to draw them in, and it's what's going to attract those people that are looking for the sort of quick buck by saying, wait, all I have to do is win a fucking board game with painted soldiers, and I could be a millionaire? Great. Yeah. Sign me up. Like, that's the kind of thing. And girls never will do that, because the other problem that I think we have that we haven't already touched on is the fact that, you know, a lot of these, you know, socially awkward mouth breathers are alienating the girls that do get in, you know? I mean, like, fuck, how many, like, you know, I had a Klingon at Adepticon, but I mean, Terry, who didn't even play, had Klingons just because she would be walking through the vendor hall. You know, it's just like, this is the kind of behavior, guys, that is driving girls away. And just because a girl is slightly interested in Warhammer or has an army or paints, or no matter what her level of involvement is, just because you play Warhammer 2 isn't a one-way ticket into her panties. Okay? Stop acting like it is. Bathe. Don't give back rub. Like, there's so many things you can do.
Well, that guy clearly was more interested in you than the girl in the room.
Oh, I mean, yeah, let's be honest. I don't even think he looked at my wife.
No, no. Anybody who comes up behind you and starts giving you a back rub who isn't your wife is, he's very much interested in you. I'm sure he was looking down your shirt.
it's from that angle.
So I mean, what was your reaction to that? Because I don't think you ever actually told me what your reaction was. Were you just like, get the fuck away from me? Or were you just kind of sitting there going like, Jesus Christ, I think his man's trying to rape me.
I immediately pushed my chair out so it would knock into him and push him away. And then I turned to see who it was. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh, hey, I was just looking for you. And again, at this point, I'm having dinner with my wife and my game three opponent, who ended up being a physicist from Montreal who actually builds X-ray machines. Super cool, super interesting. And we're having this really, really good talk, and he's just standing there looking at us. And after about 2 minutes, I was just like, would you like to join us? He's like, oh yeah. Like, it was so awkward. Like, you could just cut it. Like, it was just like the puppy dog eyes and everything, and I was just like, this. Yeah, but I knew for a fact that I was going to finish game four. I just lost game three, so I wasn't in the running for anything. I was finishing game four, and then I was going. I'd never have to see him again.
Oh, I'm sure he sees you.
Oh, I'm sure. He also invited me to come watch him play Infinity all day Sunday.
Fancy.
Can you guess if I went or not?
I would assume that you were busy.
Yeah, I was washing my hair. How did you know?
Well, you know what? Hair needs to be washed. Sometimes you got to wash some hair. Shit. That's the way it fucking goes. Okay, so, you know, I would like to see some, you know, different points of view on this from the non-mouth breathers. Because I feel like it this conversation keeps coming up. And somebody always spouts it out like it's the idea that fixes everything.
You know, but I think the same people that are the ones that awkwardly hang around the girls are the ones that think that more girls is the answer. Because, again, you know, we are both, I'm going to say, successful in, you know, in our lives. You know, we've got wives, we've got kids, we've got good paying jobs Monday to Friday. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, we're not rich, but, you know, we're living the dream, you know, whatever. But it's just like, we're both relatively successful, and we're both kind of on the same page where we're just like, why the fuck do you want more girls in? What good is that going to do? And do you honestly think that a girl is going to walk into a fucking tournament room that reeks like gamer BO and ever come back again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest, you know. But the same people that are always clamoring for more girls and more girls, you know, these are the fucking, you know, lives in your mom's basement and, you know, hasn't shaved in 6 years and can't even grow a beard yet. You know, like, it's just, these are those kinds of people where you're just like, you know what? Getting girls into what you're into isn't going to solve your abandonment and loneliness issues. Therapy might help. Therapy is a good start. Other than that, growing a pair.
Playing Skaven, because that's a tight-knit group. All right, I'm going to throw in here. I'm going to read a bit of viewer mail because it does pertain a little bit to what we're talking about here. So this is from Mr. Jeremiah Martin.
Okay.
He says, first of all, let me get out of the way that I love the podcast. Thank you very much, sir. So after 3 years of hemming and hawing while going to college on whether or not to start a 40K army, I finally realized that although I love the 40K fluff the most, I hate all the things Space Marine, and that has driven me away from the grim darkness of the 41st millennia and towards Warhammer Fantasy. Good for you. I actually find that I prefer the visual styles in Warhammer Fantasy much more. I also have settled down on an army that I can get both my fiancé to help me paint.
Yeah,
and man, that I think we could really get into. High Elves. I know that you don't have a lot of time to spend on air, but this will be my first tabletop. Hold on. A lot of air time to spend on this army. This will be my first tabletop army, so I have a few questions to answer. Hopefully he says he can milk it out of two episodes.
Oh.
I've been reading Scott. We'll do it in one. We'll kind of burn through this here. His first question, which pertains to this a little bit more, because this is the next thing that I wanted to get into. Any experience collaborating on the construction of an army with a loved one? Spouses. Spouses are one of the biggest things that you're going to see for girls in Warhammer. They begrudgingly accept the fact that you are this person, and much like alcoholism, they love you anyways.
Even when we beat them for doing it wrong. I said edge highlight!
I'm watching NASCAR, bitch!
Lurleen,
god damn it. You get that little bastard of yours. But no, I mean, spouses are one of the things that you're going to see most prominently. Any experience collaborating on the construction of an army with a loved one? Yes, I'm sure both of us do. Yours more successful than mine, because mine has no urge whatsoever to do this.
let me take this one, because funny story. Like, I got into this back in 98, in junior high school, kind of played with a buddy on and off junior high, high school, ended up after graduating high school, moving, to another city, going to university, moving in with, Terry, who I'd eventually marry, but you know, can't hold this down, bitch. I mean, right. Honestly, none of my shit was ever painted before her, because it was one of those things where she was going through, like, looking for something, and she stumbled across a box stuffed to the brim of, like, assembled and primed models in the, like, back corner of the closet, like it was a stash of porn. And Harry just kind of takes it down, looks at it, and was just like, Nathan, what is this? Again, like it's a box of porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to come clean about it. You know, I told her all about it. She thought it sounded neat, wanted to actually try painting one of them. You know, and that kind of eventually got her in doing her own Tau army, things of that nature. So, I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where kind of since then we do a lot of times sort of collaborate on armies, specifically paint schemes. I'm fucking god awful at picking out colors. I mean, I love to paint, but I have no imagination. So I'll always ask Terry what'll look good, and I just listen to her. So does that count as collaborating?
I guess it does. I mean, really, when it comes to the construction of an army, you're always going to have to deal with painting, and that's going to be the biggest thing. Depending on what you buy, depending on what you build, you're always going to have to paint it. And the loved ones, the spouses, are always going to have a very different view of what they want to paint. And that's true of anybody. Not even, you don't even have to be married. Men and men. Doesn't matter. Nathan and I go back and forth on what color to paint his horrors. You know what I mean? Like, this is always true. Going to be an issue. And really, one of the things that you kind of have to focus on is that because of the way these are painted, unless you guys are in sync, and I'm talking like weird movie bullshit in sync, where like you guys like the same movies and you both come at the same time, like this is one of those things that you're never really going to see eye to eye on. So you kind of each
have to, goss all over the place. Right.
you each have to have your own projects. You know what I mean? If you're going to do High Elves, right, start her off with a chariot. I always find that something simple that they can finish is the best way to go to get somebody who isn't necessarily into the hobby feeling a little bit more involved in it. It also allows you to keep the same color scheme, but it's their model. It's their stuff. The other thing is characters. I find that women tend to like to do characters a lot more than everyone else. They spend more time on them. They're also obsessively anal about how good it looks. So that is also good for your army, because it's your army. But really...
Yeah, at Vets Night, who's really pulling that case out?
The other big thing is make sure that you take care of the army, because trust me, if that flag breaks, she will fucking destroy you. But really, you know, like, jokes aside, collaboration on armies is always a really hard thing to do. Even when I was working with Games Workshop, and I know Nathan knows this as well, even when you're working with Games Workshop and everyone decides on a color scheme and everyone decides on how they're going to do something, everything is mishmashed. Nothing really looks the way it's supposed to. And even though you're all following the same stuff, you all have different styles, you all have different shading procedures, some people like ink, some people don't. Some dudes do non-metallics for the metals. Somebody also use, you know, freaking burnished gold. Like, it's just, these are the things that are always going to set you apart, right? So have your own stuff. That would be my advice to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can both like the same army, you know, and do the same army. When it comes to list constructing, you know, even a step beyond what Lang was saying with everyone paints with a different style, everyone plays with a different style. I mean, I see lists from people, you know, when they ask me for advice, and I'm just like, fuck, I'd never play that. I'm just like, there is nothing about that list that works for me, but I know that it works for you. So I'm just going to try to look at that list in a, you know, in a perspective of, can it accomplish everything you'll need it to accomplish in any situation? Because again, I like to build for tournaments, right? So I'll build a jack of all trades list. But yeah, so I mean, you know, if you want chariots and she, you know, because you want that aggressive combat unit, and she doesn't really want chariots because, you know, if she's going to play, that may not be her. And maybe even she hates the models. Right. You know, because again, you're going to run into that. I mean, if you both love the aesthetic of High Elves, kudos. That's great. It's really hard to kind of, you know, sometimes for two people to agree on it. Because, I mean, Lang and I are basically a married Warhammer couple. And I fucking hate Lizardmen more than anything in the world. I hate
kind of despise Tyranids.
Yeah, that's fair.
And really, I think one of the funniest conversations that you and I had was about who was more gay, and then we just decided that both races actually don't have dicks, so we're both kind of this nondescript, not male, not female races, and we're arguing about who's more gay. It was a funny conversation, because it was back and forth in email, and we're both at work while this is happening, but let's wrap.
And I share an office with my boss, so anytime he actually does do a zinger that makes me laugh, I always get dirty looks.
Good times. But really, let's wrap this up a little bit here. We've kind of talked about it. I want to finish this mail before we get into the stupidity check for this week, but I would like to hear people's opinions on this. If you're not currently in the Facebook group for Jaded Gamercast, by all means, send us an invite. We approve people really quick. This is one of those things that would be interesting to see if somebody has a really dissenting opinion on it, because, like I said, it comes up often enough. But let's finish off this email. Which of the lists would you suggest from episode 69 which would work best for a total newbie? Is the battle box worth it? Is there any way to begin understanding list building without simply playing and paying? What are the principles that are absolutely crucial to understand when building a successful army? Okay, this is a pretty loaded question, because really what it comes down to is that you have to have a very firm grasp of the game before you really start to understand the mechanics of list building, right? One of the things is also that it's going to be dependent on each army, and it's going to be dependent on who you're playing. So a lot of the lists that you're building, like Nathan said, are going to be jack-of-all-trade lists, because you're trying to cover all these bases. The majority of new people who get into the game don't think that way. They think, how can I get to this point's limit quickest with what I currently have? And to be perfectly honest, I think that's the best way to play. You need to play with what you have as quickly as possible. And it's not just about playing and paying and playing and paying. It really is about understanding where your list is good and where it's not, and kind of learning your own play style and learning how good you're going to be at it. And that is going to involve losing a lot. Now, since you have a spouse who's currently also playing, that's actually a good opportunity, because collaborating on armies is hard. But one of the things that you can do is split that army in two and play against each other. Or if you picked up a starter set, you know, have her start painting something else, or even just build the models. Don't even paint them. And play some games. Start learning the game. See if she's actually interested in the game as opposed to just painting and constructing an army with you. Right? And really, I feel like that's the best way to start out, because if I give you a list for your high elves, it's not going to make any sense to you. You're not going to realize why I'm saying you need to build it this way and that way. From that episode, which I believe was the Higher Learning with Matt, we all had a different opinion, right? I wanted Phoenix Guard, Matt liked Swordmasters, and Nathan liked White Lions. There's no answer. Pick the one that you like the best and go for it and build your list around it.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is again, everyone plays a little bit differently. Everyone prefers something. When you're building your core, pick one of their three choices. Actually, pick one of their two. Don't take archers. If you take like 600 points of archers, you've hamstrung yourself for effective core. Let's be honest. Gun lines are not the be-all, end-all. But, you know, pick one of the two core choices, either Spearman or Lothran Seaguard. Pick one of the special choices. And like Lang said, get up to a playable points limit right away and just start playing the game. Because, you know what? To be honest, High Elves really don't have any dud units other than Silver Helms. Don't buy shitloads of Silver Helms. And anything else that you're going to pick up is going to be good. So you're never going to feel ripped off. You're never going to feel like anything is particularly shitty or not effective. And just, buy things based on the models. You'll learn how to use them. Yeah. Because again, Phoenix Guard being dependable, you can just make an anvil deep in the center. Mm-hmm. White Lions, you want Killy. Swordmasters, you want Killy and cutting out down damage. Like, it just, there are ways that you can learn to play the army. So as long as you have your core requirements met, you pick up one of those special units because they're fuck tons of points. And then just start playing games. Yeah. You'll learn. And again, if your fiance is actually interested in playing the game, there's a good chance that if you love the look of Phoenix Guard, she might like the look of Swordmasters, and then you'll discover that they don't necessarily work for each of you. You could always swap or do things like that, especially if you're painting them in a similar color scheme. So, I'm done echoing Lang. Just get games in.
Get games in is the big thing. But to answer your question, is
Dragon Mages are fun, though.
Absolutely. Is the battle box worth it? No. That's the short answer.
Let me actually see what's in the battle box before I say
it. I think you get a very small number of spearmen. You get a small number of archers. You get a box.
The battalion?
Yeah, the battalion.
The battalion gives you 20 spearmen, 20 archers, a chariot and a bolt thrower. You know what? Honestly, buy the starter set.
Better. I was just about to say the exact same thing. The starter set is the better choice. Swordmasters, you're going to get a ton of them. And
Seaguards. You get
characters as well. So it's definitely the better choice, because you are going to go mage heavy if you're playing High Elves. Next question, painting tips, where to learn at color schemes, since GW is looking to scam me out of my money instead of teach me. Good on you, this guy. I like him. But no, really, you know what? There is a lot of tips for painting. We can't
Google
get into
painting
it.
Core? Like, seriously, one of the painting blogs that I follow is The Painting Core. And they do fucking everything. Beginner, advanced, super advanced. Like, they do shit that I can't dream of doing. They do stuff at my level. They do stuff that I don't bother reading. So just Google The Painting Core. They've been going strong for years, so there's so many back articles, and you will pick up tons of techniques. But the number one thing is fucking practice.
Well, and you can
read on how to dry brush, but until you've dry brushed 20 dudes, you're really not going to get the hang of it.
Well, for me, the big thing is, for anybody who's just getting started and this is their first army, three colors and based is your first goal. Everything in the army, three colors and based. Don't get caught up trying to finish models right out the gates. That's actually a huge sand trap for people who are trying to get into the game, especially for an army like High Elves, which has a lot of detail. Get your three colors, get them based. You know, get the basics down. Don't worry too much about highlighting. Don't worry too much about all of the little details here and there. And then go back through again and then do all of your washes. And then go back through again and start doing highlights. It's going to be a lot easier to stick with it that way. And actually, you'll start getting into kind of like a routine where you and your perfect spouse, because, oh, your wife is so great, dude, can actually start doing that stuff together. When you're not coming together. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I'm out of scotch and I'm angry.
See, but at least you didn't bring the bottle down because you have to work tomorrow.
It is a Sunday.
No, but I mean, the other, like, that's the thing is fuck, everyone's been there. My first army looked like fucking butt. Like, it's absolutely awful, but it got me playing. And in getting me playing, it got me meeting other people. It got me seeing their painting style, you know, their armies. And it always drove me to do a little bit better, because that's the thing is, you know, over the last 14 years, I'd get to the point where with my painting skills, I'd just be like, yeah, and I'm happy here. And then someone would come along and I'm just like, well, fuck him with his army looking that good. Well, I'm going to up my game and things like that. But like Lang said, the key is to play as soon as you can. Don't try to win a painting competition with your first army. You know, you don't have the practice. You don't have the skills. Painting is something that is done through routine. You will, you know, especially, you know, if you're looking through the White Dwarf or even on the fucking box and you're seeing the work that the heavy metal team does, straight up, you cannot paint that well. As soon as you accept that your stuff will never look like the box until you've practiced on a lot of models, you know, you'll be a lot happier. Yeah.
True.
So accept that your stuff will pale in comparison, but be happy with the fact that it is painted, which makes you better than, what, half the people that show up to a G-dub? Oh, am I kidding? 100% of the people that show up to a G-dub?
Any Warhammer books that I must read? Nope, all of them. When should I start considering tournaments? As soon as possible.
Yeah, you know what? Here's awesome my take on experience. Tournaments. They are such a phenomenal learning experience, because at the end of the day, when you play in a tournament, if it's a one day like Awards Onslaught that just happened a couple weeks ago, you get four games in one day. Now, normally, if you are religious and you show up to your local game store every single week, you might get one game in a week. So you're basically getting a month's worth of experience in a day. It lets you really understand how your army works. It lets you see the holes. It lets you play a lot of different competition. And at the end of the day, you know, it does two things. It's going to make you a better gamer, and it's going to get you to meet new people.
Yeah, well, that's a huge thing, too. Actually, what I also wanted to note, and I've kind of talked about this before, is that a lot of people, when they first start getting into Warhammer, kind of a little bit more than 40K, but when they first start getting into Warhammer, they overreact to everything. They'll play one game and a unit will underperform and they'll shelve it and paint a new unit. One of the nice things about a tournament is that you're stuck with that list for four games. And it really does teach you how your list plays and how these units are going to perform in a variable number of settings. And that's invaluable. Especially when you've got a week between games, like Nathan is saying. It's very, very easy, you know, while this stuff is running in your mind at work, that you're going to go ahead and you're going to adjust your list and you're going to adjust your list. Actually, you're not learning anything when you do that. You need to be able to get those games in and really understand how this stuff plays without constantly changing everything. It's like being in a bad corporate environment where they'll set out a policy and they won't wait to see if the policy works before they say, nope, we need to change the policy, and they'll change it again. It's not actually accomplishing anything. So tournaments are actually hugely awesome for new people. Interestingly enough, as you mentioned about Onslaught, Mr. Jarrett Lee, who is a phenomenal painter, who his blog also has some very, very good, I don't recall the name of it off the top of my head right now, unfortunately. Hopefully I'll try to remember to post it on Facebook. But his blog actually has a lot of painting stuff on it, and he's done painting tips and things like that. But the guy barely ever games in Warhammer. And actually, that was his first Warhammer tournament. And he really, really enjoyed it, but he learned a ton about his army. I think he went like 3-1 or something like that. But like he really learned a lot about his army just in that small chunk of time. And that is really going to kind of keep you driven toward doing these things as well. Okay, so he also says he did a big move recently from Montana to New York. There you go. Albany, New York. Any relevant gaming culture information for that area? No.
Yeah, sorry.
Never been there. We're Canadian.
Post it on the Facebook group. We might have someone there.
You never know.
I mean, we have people from South Africa.
It's also true. let me just take a quick look for this last bit here.
Hey, while you're doing that, for reading books, I can't believe you said all of them. Start with Eisenhorn. Move to Ravenor. If you want Warhammer Fantasy, I actually started reading...
I think he means army books.
Oh, army books? If it's army books, read
them. That's
why
I said nope, all
yours
of them.
First. Yeah, yours first, and then read everything else. So that way you kind of have an idea of what every other army is capable of. You'll see where the strength of those lists are.
Yeah, and of course at the top of that list is read the books for the people that you play against regularly. You know, if the three guys at your gaming club are playing Orcs, Empire, and Skaven, read those fucking books first. But, all right, I'm going to read this last little bit here. And, of course, I don't want to feel like I want you to act like my design team for my entire army. Well, you are going to get a bill.
It's true.
but I am pretty overwhelmed with the prospect of entering the hobby, especially considering that I have no store to call home as of yet. Any help on this would be marvelous. If you guys don't feel like recovering this material, I can always just farm it out to the Facebook group. Thanks, Lang and Nathan, for being awesome, April, you know, and regular source of entertainment. Sincerely, Jeremiah Martin. Thank you very much for that email, Jeremiah, and thank you for putting it in bullet form, because, as you know, we are stupid, and we need those things.
It's true.
It is very overwhelming to get into the hobby, but the payoff is very high. And the reason why we give advice the way that we do right now is because we've been through it enough times, and we've seen it enough times that it's very hard to try to convince people to do things the way that's going to keep them in the hobby and not just burn them out. And especially when it comes to building and painting armies, that three colors and base and starting with the basics is hugely important. And doing it over and over and over and over again and doing, you know, 60 models worth of inking, by the time you get to the 60th model, you're a pro. You know, it's important to do these things, and the shortcuts are almost always going to hurt you in the long run. I've seen very, very few people who get into this hobby and try to take the shortcuts stick around, because they always flop, or you're never really learning anything. Like, I know a lot of people are big on like saying like, oh yeah, all the new players should start with like dipping their armies. That's a huge mistake. Because you're not going to be happy with the result. You're not going
to
learn anything.
And even to take a step back, you know, people that, you know, they go in and they'll go on to like Warseer and they're just like, hey, you know what? I'm looking at getting in. I want to play guard, but I don't want to waste any money. So everyone give me the best guard list.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. You know, again, they're going to drop the money. They're going to dip their shit. They're going to airbrush. They're going to do whatever. They're going to play two games, lose, and that fucker's right on eBay. You know, because at the end of the day, like anything you do, you have to do it enough to get good at it. You know, so it's just like, don't try to win painting competitions. Don't dip. Don't get into bad habits. Just do it clean and do it quick. Do it simple. Because at the end of the day, you know, your second army, you can take a lot of time on. If you choose to do a second army, or even if you just want to add in more high elves, you can choose to do a better job on them, because at the very least you have this painted army that you can keep playing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like that was one of the things that got me, you know, that gave me the opportunity to get my demons as well painted as they were, was the fact that I had my wood elves to play. So I was able to take the time. I basically spent a year painting 70 guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's all I have right now. And that's why I was able to take the time, make them a lot better, because anytime I felt like having a game, anytime there was a tournament coming up that I wanted to go to, I had a playable army. I could just bust them out and I could play them. Was I as happy with them compared to the newer stuff that I painted? Fuck no. But at least I was gaming. At least I was able to scratch that itch. Because, you know, when you spend a long time, you know, from designing your list and changing it and painting your models and doing all that, and, you know, you finally get there, you finally get to the tabletop with a painted army, again, that could be 6 months, that could be a year. Shut up, John Wong. I know you're going to post something on the Facebook page. We all know it.
Yes.
You know, but it's going to take you a long time. And if you don't get some of that payoff, some of that fun game, you know, some of the fun games and meeting people and tournaments and things like that, like Lang said, you're just going to burn out and you're going to go do something else. You're going to say, hey, you know what? The juice wasn't worth the squeeze. But if you get your shit done, just three colors and based, and you go out and you start playing games, you start meeting people, that's when you're going to discover this sort of new community. And, you know, as someone who literally moved to another city, because, I mean, like, I, you know, granted, you know, Cowtown to E-Town is not as far as Montana to Albany, New York. But I'll bet that at this point in time right now, you don't really know anyone out in Albany. And it kind of sucks. When you get an army done and you start going out to gaming groups or finding stores and getting games in and meeting people, it opens up this whole new world of friends that may one day be the best man at your wedding, right, Lang?
True enough.
I mean, hey, right? What? But no, as to gaming group in Albany, if a quick Google search doesn't find you something, or even if you just go to a local store and you're just like, hey, you know what? You know, you sell Warhammer, do you do gaming nights? Or, you know, ask some questions, maybe, you know, get your stuff done, go to a tournament, things like that. The biggest thing is once you meet people, you know, you can step into that world. Like right now you're kind of on the outside looking in. As soon as you find somewhere to take that first step, because I'm sure a lot of, local stores have gaming nights or gaming groups that allow unpainted, which gives you the opportunity to play while you're still working on painting your shit. But as Jada Gamercast will attest to, paint your shit.
Yep. Well, that's the best thing to do. So, speaking of, at the end of the day, it is the end of the day.
No.
So let's move on to the stupidity check for this week. Nathan, what do you got for us?
I am going to have to go with the What's New Today blog off of the GamesWorkshop.com website.
Surprise, surprise.
And the reason I get them is not content-wise, because I don't read it. I like to go through and...
I look at the
listen,
pretty pictures.
I straight up do. When I'm really bored at work, I'll go on and start looking through the post to look at the pretty pictures and the models and blah-de-blah-de-blah. But the reason they get a stupidity check is because they're just stupid, okay? Every time that they have a big announcement, like when Games Workshop is going to try to pull out the rug and surprise everyone with a surprise blog post, you know it because there's no Friday post. So you go on. I mean, this is a UK company that decides that they're only going to post stuff at midnight Greenwich Mean when it's technically Saturday. So when you go on at like freaking Friday at noon, when their blog post should have been up at about 3 a.m, and it's not there, you're just like, oh, look, something big is being announced. Let's go to Warseer and see what it is. You know, like you're just like, it's just so idiotic and so stupid because it's so transparent. Like, you know, to me, and I don't know whether the fault is with the blog or the fault is with the company where they want to try to do a grand reveal and wow everyone. But first of all, you need to understand that 90%, I'm making this up, like all web statistics, 90% of all web surfing is done at work.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask anyone with an office job. This is when we're on the internet. Like I go home, I might check my Facebook. I really want nothing else to do with the net. I've fucking surfed it to death all day at work. That is when I'm going. So when you do your big reveal on the Friday to have it awesome and there all weekend, I notice on Monday because I haven't gone. And like I said, I don't know if it's the blog trying to be clever or if it's the company, but whatever it is, it's just a failed stupidity check because it's so obvious. You know, they're not fooling anyone. They're not being clever or funny or whatever it is that they think that they're trying to do. And I find it's just a pain in the ass, because if you're going to announce something, what difference does announcing it, you know, on Friday morning or Friday at midnight make?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, like, like if you were releasing product, like if you're doing a midnight launch, I get it. I mean, not really. This is still plastic models that'll take me months to paint. So if I buy them and go to bed or buy them the next day, I don't get it. But again, you know, you're announcing information. Like, why are you time delaying this shit. So for me, I think that's a failed stupidity check because I just, it's so inane. And I, every single fry, you know, every single time they do it, I just have to shake my head. And like I said, take 20 seconds to go to Warseer and find out what the big reveal will be.
I don't read the blog.
Well, good on you. You know what? Yes. Slow clap, sir. No, I mean, like I said, I straight up only go so I can look at the pretty pictures when I'm super bored at work. Like, I'm talking, like, there. It's a slow news day.
I don't think I can ever be that bored at work. Because I've tried reading it when I'm thinking of, like, oh, I want to see, like, maybe there's something to talk about on the show. And I try to read it, and I can't. Like, it's so bad.
I think the big reason why you're never that bored at work is you can actually watch movies at work. I can't. True. So when I have literally nothing to do, I just have to start surfing and reading articles and trying to find content. True. So, yeah, like I said, their blog is crap. I've tried to read it a couple times when I'm so bored that I've looked at the pictures and I've come back to it a couple hours later. I'm like, well, let's read what they have to say. I can usually make about 100 words before I leave. So I guess maybe that's stupidity checkable, but I don't know. It's the Games Workshop corporate blog. Everyone kind of knows what they're getting.
You're the stupidity check for this week because you read it. Anyways.
I glance at it.
That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan. Buy maple bacon beer. Delicious. Cheers.